Douglas Crook, Wednesday, August 5th, 2009.
Well, this evening we have a rather lengthy passage of Scripture we need to read to before we continue our study here in Genesis. So if you'll open with me to Genesis 27, we'll read all 46 verses and actually the first five of the next verse, so we get the context of the lessons that we need to learn from this Holy Spirit-inspired account in the life of Isaac and his family. Genesis chapter 27. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Genesis 27 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here am I." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, Who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came and have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me also, O my father. But he said, Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, but by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning of my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heath like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? And we need to consider the first five verses of 28 to round out the lessons here. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Now remember, this is after Isaac was well aware he had been deceived by Jacob. But now he calls Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. I believe that this is one of the saddest passages in Scripture that we have, and there are a number of them, but this certainly is among the sad passages of Scripture. But I believe that the Holy Spirit registers it for us that we might learn some very important lessons. We'll begin by looking at the lessons that we can learn from Isaac's actions and his attitudes in this passage. We often talk about the temptations that young people face in life, and there are many. But this evening, the lesson has to do with the older ones. And young people, that doesn't mean you can go to sleep now, because someday you'll be old, if the Lord doesn't come before then. So there are lessons for all of us here. But in this chapter, we see the real danger that older saints need to guard against. One that Isaac did not pay attention to, and he fell into Satan's trap. Now, we know without question that Isaac was a man of faith from his youth. The testimony of Scripture, both old and new, is that Isaac was a man of God. He was a man of faith. As a young person, he willingly surrendered himself to his father in obedience to Jehovah, to be offered up as a sacrifice. That was an act of faith on Isaac's part. Obviously, Abraham's faith is predominant in that story, but for Isaac to surrender himself as a young, strong male to his older father, that was an act of faith. We see Isaac calling upon the Lord when Rebekah, his wife, was barren. And it appeared that all the promises of the blessings to Abraham were going to be annulled because his wife couldn't have a child. He called upon the Lord in faith, and the Lord answered him. He worshiped Jehovah after he had patiently waited after being having well after well taken from him. And when the Lord made room for him, what did Isaac do? He built an altar of worship and acknowledged that Jehovah had made space for him. So a man of faith without question all of his life. But now Isaac is old. We were joking with Bob there a little bit about how we don't like to consider those phrases for someone your age, you're not doing too bad. We see all through Scripture the realities of every stage of life, that there are trials that each of us have to face during those whatever stage of life in which we find ourselves. We must learn to continue to live by faith. Isaac was old. He was very comfortable and very prosperous. And the reason he was prosperous was because God blessed him. These were not ill-gotten gains. These were not gained by carnal business practices. His wealth was the result of God's blessing on his life because he was a man of faith. But he fell into the trap that he became so comfortable in the blessings that God had given him that he stopped living by faith in his old age. Remember that God had already revealed to Rebekah and therefore to Isaac as well that Jacob was to inherit the blessings of Abraham. In Genesis 25, if you're taking notes, Genesis 25, 23, there we have the clear revelation of the will of God. Remember, to live by faith is to live in obedience and trust in the Word of God, the revealed will of God. In Genesis 25, 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So it was already revealed that Jacob was to be the head of the family, and he was to inherit the blessings that were given to Abraham. So Isaac knew the will of God in this area. And yet Isaac, being old, being comfortable, used to having the kind of food that he wanted when he wanted it, he liked what he liked, he thought he was soon to die. And this is interesting because when you read this, don't you get the picture that Isaac's on his deathbed and he's going to die in the next day or two? Anybody know how much longer he lived after this? Pardon? Well, at least 20 and probably more. I'm not sure of the 40. But if you got some references, we'll confirm that. But we know he lived at least till Jacob returned, which was 20-some years later. So, you ever heard old people talk about how they're going to die tomorrow? And again, these are very real life lessons we can learn. As long as we have breath, We are to live by faith and obedience to the revealed will of God. He thought he was about to die, and so he wanted one last meal. And it's also interesting, if he was on his deathbed, he sure had a good appetite. He wanted one last good meal before he died. He wasn't thinking about what the will of the Lord was. He wanted to bless Esau because Esau could give him the kind of food that he liked. He grew comfortable. He had carnal appetites and he didn't judge them, because he was going to go against what he knew to be the will of God in order to satisfy his carnal appetite. In this case, quite literally, his carnal appetite. Esau was a profane man. Isaac already knew that. He had grieved Isaac's heart with the marriage to the Canaanite women. And yet, despite the fact that Esau had sold his birthright, that was also a known fact by this time. Despite the fact that Esau had sold the birthright, and despite the fact of marrying Canaanite wives, Isaac was still going to bless him because he liked the food that he prepared. Now, sadly, I have often witnessed men and women that have truly been examples of faith in their lifetime. I have watched some of them grow older, and I've watched them cease to live by faith. And it's a sad thing, and it's an unnecessary thing. Many of God's people, as they get older, they become comfortable, and then they become sentimental, and they become nostalgic about people, places, and things. And they begin to make choices and associations and decisions that's based on those sentiments and though that nostalgia instead of what they know to be the will of God. Anybody else seen that, or am I the only one who imagines that? Have we seen older ones make decisions based only on sentiment? Even though that sentiment, if it's an association, if it's a choice, even though it's contrary to the revealed will of God. And I've seen men and women that have made stands as young people and as middle-aged saints. They made bold stands of faith, and yet as they get older, because of nostalgia, because of sentiment, they make what they think is the comfortable choice rather than the choice that agrees with the Word of God. The result is the same as we see here in Isaac's life. It leads to confusion, to disunity, to sorrow, to heartache in the family of God. As we grow older, saints, we need to be careful not to become lazy in our spiritual life. We must be careful not to become complacent, thinking only of our comfort. That's easy to do as we get older, isn't it? That kind of comes first. What's the most convenient? What's the most comfortable? Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable. Remember, these riches that Isaac had, they were the blessings of the Lord. God can bless you in your old age. He can give you comfort and convenience. But when you make your decisions based on what makes you the most comfortable, or what's the most convenient, or what is the most sentimental to you, rather than what does the Word of God say about this choice, this relationship, this association? What does the Word of God say? That should be our standard for decisions all through life. What is the will of God? And that includes till we take our last breath. When we get older, it doesn't matter how long you live by faith, you can't coast to the last on the faith that you lived on yesterday. You need to live by faith today for your needs as an older saint. When you do that, God will honor you. If you find yourself, and the Spirit says through His Word, Brother Doug's talking about you, it's not too late to return to the life of faith. I believe that Isaac repented. I believe that Isaac returned to faith. You know how I come to that conclusion? In verse 33 of Genesis 27. When it finally dawned on Isaac what had taken place, it says, then Isaac trembled exceedingly. Now, what would be your first thought? Why would he tremble so? Some might say, well, he's really angry with Jacob. But that's why we read the first five verses of the next chapter. Did Isaac seem to be angry with Jacob? He didn't speak angry words against Jacob, did he? And in fact, quite the opposite. He blessed him freely and openly, over and above what he had already blessed him. Why do you suppose Isaac trembled? I believe that Isaac realized that God had overruled his carnal judgment. I believe that Isaac was well aware what he had done. I tried to bless the one that God said he hated, and he trembled in the fear of God. Not in anger at Jacob, but in the fear of God. That's repentance. When he told Esau, I've blessed him and he will be blessed. You know why he said that? Because that was the will of God. It was already revealed that that was the will of God. And now, despite Isaac's own carnal appetite, God saw to it that that God's plan and purpose came through. And Isaac was well aware of it. Indeed, Jacob will be blessed, Isaac said. And then when Isaac sent Jacob away and sent him away not in anger but with the blessing of Abraham, that also was an act of faith. For him to send Jacob away so he wouldn't marry a Canaanite wife, that was an act of faith on Isaac's part. He returned. I believe he finished his course in faith. We can do the same. If we've been guilty of becoming lazy and complacent and comfortable in our decisions and our associations that we base only on our feelings instead of the Word of God, then we need to repent of that. We need to tremble before God to understand it's not okay. You know, sometimes when you think of older saints, we like to try to make excuses. Well, you know, they're getting older. And we need to cry out to God. We want to finish our course with joy. Don't you? I do. Psalm 37. I want to have the testimony of the psalmist David. But we cannot coast home, saints. And it doesn't matter what age you are, what stage of life you find yourself in, you can't coast. You have to every day take a purposeful step of faith for every decision in life, for every direction. You need to obey the will of God. And you need to do it actively and consciously. And you need to do it by daily dependence on God, crying out to Him for that direction. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Isaac, I believe, stumbled and fell. But he wasn't cast down and cast out, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. As I said, I believe this is one of the saddest passages in Scripture, and yet I'm glad God put it here for me because it challenges me. If a man of Isaac's stature, if a man of Isaac's faith can fall into such complacency in his old age, I need to realize that I could easily fall there myself. And so I need to daily make choices that avoids that trap. And that is by daily agreeing with the Word of God. Making my choices not based on my comfort or my emotions or my sentiment, but on the Word of God. Now let's look at the lessons we can learn from Esau's part in this. His actions, his reactions. From Esau, we can learn that the blessings of the Lord cannot be bought and they cannot be demanded. The faith word group should pay attention here. You cannot demand the blessings of God. Esau placed no value on the spiritual and eternal blessings of God. But Esau did realize that a part of the blessings of the birthright and of Abraham's blessing had to do with the material, physical blessings of God, the plentiful harvest, the abundance. He understood. He wanted that part of the blessing of God. He wanted the prosperity message, this Esau. But Hebrews 12, we read earlier, you can mark it down again, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 12, 14 to 17, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau was remorseful because of his profane ways and the result of those ways, but he did not repent. You know how we know he didn't? Because Esau vowed to kill the man that God said he had blessed. That's not repentance. Father, can't you bless me, even me? I'm going to kill Jacob. And God had already said, through Jacob, the blessings of Abraham would continue. We can only enjoy the blessings of God as we honor Him and His word. Jacob and Rebekah, there are lessons to be learned from them as well. Jacob and Rebekah obtained their goal, especially Rebekah, though it was certainly Jacob's as well. When Rebekah brought the scheme to Jacob, Jacob didn't say, "Well, Mom, that's not right. We can't do that." He was only afraid that it might backfire on him and he get cursed instead of blessed. But he didn't see anything wrong with the scheme unless it didn't pan out. They obtained the goal of their deception. In other words, Jacob received the blessing. But they made the mistake of thinking that that was God's way. Don't you make the mistake that God blessed this scheme. What you have to understand is that God overruled all involved here in order to accomplish His own purpose. The proper conclusion that we can arrive at is that God's eternal purposes will always be fulfilled despite what men do. It doesn't matter what men try to do or what they try to undo, God's purposes will be fulfilled. From this passage, it's interesting, just some interesting trivia here. Isaac must have really been blind. This is one blind man. Esau must have really been hairy. Isaac mistook two goat pelts, the skins of goats, for his son. That's one hairy man. And the third trivia that is interesting, I don't know how relevant it is, but Rebekah must have been one fantastic cook. She made goats taste like venison. And Isaac couldn't tell the difference. But it doesn't matter what individuals do, God will see to it his purposes are accomplished. Jacob received the blessing he wanted, but he did it through deception. Rebecca paid the price for this scheme because she never saw her son again. That was quite a price to pay. Men and women of faith who truly value the blessings of the Lord, like Jacob, valued that blessing. But we have to learn that God does not need, nor does he want, our carnal ways to accomplish his will. He wants us to learn to trust him to accomplish his will in us and through us by his own power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach us how to be led by the Spirit, not for us to lead the Spirit. A lot of God's people, some of them well-intentioned, try to lead the Spirit by manipulating things to the way that they want it done. Now, the intention is good. They want God's will. And this is how we're going to do it. We must learn to be led by the Spirit and to recognize the doors that he opens and then by faith walk through those doors. So it takes sensitivity on our part to see and to understand how God is working, and then it takes faith and boldness to step through those doors. But we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons, not carnal. Jacob had to learn that. He's got some pretty tough lessons here to learn. But thank God for God's patience and his love of Jacob. But the faster we learn these lessons, the less heartache we'll have. Jacob later at the end of his life says his life was hard, full of evil, that is, full of difficult times. And you know what? It was. We can avoid a lot of those troubled times if we'll quickly learn to fight the spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. I like what Moses said in Exodus in the 33rd chapter. Speaking with God, he says, God, I'm not moving from this place unless you go with me. Unless you lead me. Moses wasn't going to start out and say, okay, God, I'm going to kind of start out here and you kind of push me along. He said, no. You go and I'll follow. The Apostle Paul teaches us of our need to be led by the Spirit. Learn to recognize his ministry. You know, it's dangerous when we begin to think we know how to accomplish the will of God. That's another thing that sometimes older saints we have trouble with. If you've been in the will of the Lord and walk by faith, you might have a tendency to think, well, I know how this is done now. How many older saints have had experiences where the Lord has brought new experiences to you to say, oh no, you don't know how to go here? He's done that, hasn't he? No, you've got to call on me today and I'll lead you. I'll direct you. Remember when the Apostle Paul, wanting to do the will of God, he wanted to go into Asia to preach the gospel? That's a good thing, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. I'm sending you over to Macedonia. Paul had to learn to be led by the Spirit. He could have said, you know, I'm going to get an evangelistic team and I'm going to Asia because God wants me to preach and those people need to be preached to, and so I'm going. He would have been completely out of the will of God. So we need to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Is that your daily approach to life? I hope it is. It's a safe approach when your eyes are put on the Lord Jesus Christ for his wisdom and his direction. Well, I think we'll close there tonight.